The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 13, text number 5, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on April 20th, 2010, in Riga, Latvia.
So tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 13, text number 35.
Šovakar mēs lasām
no Bhagavad Gītas 13.
nodaļas,
pāns 35. Om namo Bhagavati Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavati Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavati Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Chatra chatragyor evam antaram gyana chakshusha bhuta pakriti moksham cha yevadur yanti te param. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Those who see with eyes of knowledge the difference between the body and the knower of the body, and can also understand the process of liberation from bondage in material nature, attain to the supreme goal. Purport. The purport of this 13th chapter is that one should know the distinction between the body, the owner of the body, and the super soul. One should recognize the process of liberation as described in verses 8 through 12. Then one can go on to the supreme destination. A faithful person should at first have some good association to hear of God and thus gradually become enlightened. If one accepts a spiritual master, one can learn to distinguish between matter and spirit, and that becomes the stepping stone for further spiritual realization. A spiritual master, by various instructions, teaches his students to get free from the material concept of life. For instance, in Bhagavad Gita, we find Krishna instructing Arjuna to free him from materialistic considerations. One can understand that this body is matter. It can be analyzed with its 24 elements. The body is the gross manifestation, and the subtle manifestation is the mind and the psychological effects. And the symptoms of life are the interaction of these features. But over and above this, there is the soul, and there is also the super soul. The soul and the super soul are two. This material world is working by the conjunction of the soul and the 24 material elements. One who can see the constitution of the whole material manifestation as this combination of the soul and material elements, and can also see the situation of the supreme soul, becomes eligible for transfer to the spiritual world. These things are meant for contemplation and for realization, and one should have a complete understanding of this chapter with the help of the spiritual master. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the 13th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of nature, the enjoyer, and consciousness.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamala Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raguna Tanvitam Sadaitam Zavadutam Prijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha.
So here we see that Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing the importance of hearing from the bona fide spiritual master. The first step is that one distinguishes between matter and spirit. The spiritual master makes this very clear, what is the distinction between matter and spirit. And that realization, the distinguish between matter and spirit, then becomes the stepping stone for further spiritual realization. One realizes, I'm not the body. I am spirit.
Esmu gars.
But then what is the nature of spirit?
Bet kāda ir gara daba, būtība?
That's the next step.
Tas ir nākošais solis.
The complete spiritual whole exists. There is a complete spiritual whole.
Pastāv garīgs vienots veselums.
And we are part of that whole.
Un mēs esam daļa no šī vienotā veseluma.
Every one of us can see that we are a part of a complete whole, much bigger than ourselves. So what is the relationship between the part of the whole and the complete whole? Study your own body, for example. Your body is a complete whole unit.
Ķermenis ir viens vesels, vienība.
And within that body there are so many parts.
Un šajā vienā veselumā ir tik daudz dažādas daļas.
Just like, for example, your hand.
Piemēram, roka.
So what is the relationship between the hand and the complete whole body?
Kādas ir attiecības ar roku un visu ķermeni?
That relationship is the hand is meant to serve the body.
Šī attiecība ir tāda, ka roka ir radīta, lai kalpotu ķermenim.
When that hand serves the body, it is considered a healthy hand.
Kad šī roka kalpo ķermenim, tu uzskata par veselību.
And when that hand does not serve the body, you go to the doctor. I need it. My hand is doesn't it's hurting. I can't use it, so you have to fix it, my dear doctor.
Un kad šī roka vairs nekalpo ķermenim, tad mēs dodamies pie ārsta. Lūdzu, dārgais doktor, palīdziet, tā sāpes nevar to lietot.
So, when the part is not serving properly the complete whole, then it is disease, and it requires to be fixed.
Kad daļa no veseluma nekalpo visam veselumam, to uzskata par slimu, tā ir jālabo.
Same thing in your automobile.
Tas pats arī ar automašīnu.
If you get one flat tire, you have to fix that tire.
Ja gadījumā pārplīst riepa, tā ir jāsalabo.
The flat tire is useless then.
Jo caura riepa ir bezjēdzīga.
If the tire is proper, then it helps the function of the automobile.
Bet ja riepa ir normāla, vesela, tad tā palīdz visai automašīnai darboties.
So each and every one of us, we are part of that complete whole.
Un katrs no mums ir daļa no visa vienotā veseluma.
Therefore, our natural position is to serve that complete whole. When we are serving that complete whole, then we are in our healthy condition. When we are not serving that complete whole, we are in diseased condition. And we require being fixed or healed.
Un tad mums ir vajadzīgs izārstēties.
So, if your hand is damaged, you go to a doctor to get it fixed.
Ja rokai ir kādi bojājumi, tad jūs dodaties pie ārsta, lai viņš to izārstē.
But wherever you go, if you, the spirit soul, are in a damaged state and you're not serving the complete whole.
Un ja jūs nekalpojat visam veselumam, tad arī jūs kā garīga vesele esat bojāts.
Wherever you go to become restored to your natural healthy state. Well, you have to go to a soul doctor. You see? That's the spiritual master. He is a doctor of the soul. When the soul is not rendering its proper function in relationship to the complete whole,
kad vesela neveic savas pareizās funkcijas attiecībā pret vienotu veselumu,
it is a spiritually diseased condition.
Tā ir garīga slimības stāvoklis situācija.
So, then one requires the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master.
Un tad ir vajadzīga patiesa īsta garīgā skolotāja vadība.
How to bring the soul back to the healthy state.
Kā atkal atvest veselu atpakaļ uz veselīgu stāvokli.
So, Prabhupada explains that there are different types of spiritual masters.
Prabhupada skaidro, ka ir dažādi garīgu skolotāju veidi.
There are three types of devotees. There's Kanishta Adhikari, a third class devotee.
Ir trīs veidu bhaktas. Ir Kanishta Adhikari, trešās klases bhaktas.
There's Madhyam Adhikari, a second class devotee.
Madhyam Adhikari, tā ir otrā klase, otrais līmenis.
And there is Uttamadhikari, a first-class devotee.
Uttamadhikari, pirmais, augstākais līmenis.
Srila Prabhupada explains in the Upadeshamrita that a spiritual master can be in any one of these three groups.
Srila Prabhupada Upadeshamrita skaidro, ka karīgais skolotājs var būt jebkurā no šīm trijām grupām.
He can be a first-class devotee.
Viņš var būt augstākās klases bhakta.
A second-class devotee.
Otrās klases bhakta.
Or a third class devotee. But one can only advance insofar as one's spiritual master is advanced. Therefore, Prabhupada recommends that one should get a first class spiritual master. The Uttamadhikari. So how will you recognize a Uttamadhikari, spiritual master? That definition is given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Shastra yukte su nipuna shraddha, what is it? Dridha shraddha yanra Uttamadhikari se taraye samsara. That one who is expert in logic, argument, and the revealed scriptures,
cilvēks, kurš ir eksperts loģikā, diskusijās un labi pārzina garīgos svētos rakstus,
and has full faith in Krishna,
un kuram ir pilna ticība Krishna,
firm faith,
stingra ticība,
he is called Uttama Adhikari,
tādu sauc par Uttama Adhikari,
and he can deliver the whole world.
Un viņš var atbrīvot visu pasauli.
Turning everyone to Krishna consciousness.
Viņš var visus pievērst Krishna atziņā.
So, such an Uttama Adhikari devotee, he is the qualified person to be our spiritual master, to save us from the darkness of ignorance.
Šāds Uttama Adhikari, viņš ir kvalificēts būt par garīgu skolotāju, lai izglābtu mūs no neziņas un sunības.
He is expert in logic and argument.
Viņš ļoti prasmīgs loģiskos argumentos.
He's expert in revealed scriptures.
Viņš labi pārzina svētos rakstus.
And he has unflinching faith in Krishna.
Un viņam ir nesatricināma ticība Krishna.
So, if we take instructions from such a spiritual master, Uttama Adhikari spiritual master.
Un mēs pieņemam norādījumus no šāda garīga skolotāja Uttama Hikari.
Then we will also become very expert in logical argument.
Tad mēs arī kļūsim ļoti prasmīgi loģiskos argumentos.
Revealed scriptures.
Svētajos rakstos.
And our faith will become very solid.
Un mūsu ticība kļūs ļoti pamatīga.
That firm faith is very important principle.
Šī stingrā ticība ir ļoti svarīga.
Dridha Shraddha. This is further elaborated in the Svetashvatara Upanishad
6.23.
Yashya deve para bhaktir yata deve tata gaurau tasyaite katita hyarata prakashyante mahatmanah. Only unto those great personalities who have unflinching faith in the words of Guru and Krishna, or is the Vedic knowledge revealed? So if you would like to become fully enlightened in Vedic knowledge, if you would like to be able to realize and understand the purport of all the Vedic literatures, it is not required that you must master the Sanskrit language and read all the Vedic scriptures. If you can simply have firm faith in the bona fide spiritual master,
ja jums vienkārši ir stingra ticība patiesam garīgiem skolotājiem.
And in the words of Krishna given here in the Bhagavad Gita.
Un Krishnas vārdos, kuri doti šeit Bhagavad Gita.
Those two things.
Šīs divas lietas.
Then you become perfect in spiritual realization.
Tad jūs varat kļūt pilnīgs garīgajā realizācijā.
So this process of Krishna consciousness is not difficult.
Tā kā šīs Krishnas apziņas process nav smags.
Simply it requires practice.
Vienkārši vajag praktizēt.
Every day you're drinking water.
Katru dienu jūs dzerat ūdeni.
Isn't it? Everyone drinks water every day.
Vai ne? Taču visi dzer ūdeni katru dienu.
What does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita?
Ko Krishna saka Bhagavad Gita?
Rasoham apsukantiya. I am the taste of water.
Es esmu ūdens garša.
So every time you drink water, you remember, oh, this very nice taste. This is Krishna.
Katru reizi, kad jūs dzerat ūdeni, jūs atceraties, šī jaukā garša, tā ir Krishna.
And immediately you become Krishna conscious.
Un nekavējoties, jūs
you may be at school, you may be at work.
Jūs varat būt skolā vai darbā.
You may be at the temple.
Templī.
You may be traveling. It doesn't matter where you are. Everyone drinks water everywhere.
Vai jūs kaut kur ceļojat? Nav svarīgi, kur jūs esat. Visi dzer ūdeni.
So every time you drink water, you remember Krishna is the taste of the water.
Un kādu reizi, kad jūs dzerat ūdeni, jūs atcerēsieties, Krishna ir ūdens garša.
Then immediately you will get Krishna consciousness.
Un jūs nekavējoties iegūstat Krishnas apziņu.
So in this way, all we have to do is practice it.
Un šādā veidā viss, kas ir jādara, ir vienkārši jāpraktizē šis.
Find some way to connect yourself with Krishna at every minute. That's all.
Atrodiet jau kādu veidu, kā savienot sevi ar Krishna katru minūtu.
When you wake up in the morning, Hare Krishna.
Kad jūs pamostaties no rītā, Hare Krishna.
When you brush your teeth, Hare Krishna.
Jūs bestēt savus zobus, Hare Krishna.
When you shave your face, Hare Krishna.
Kad skuļaties, Hare Krishna.
When you go to the shower, Hare Krishna.
Kad dodaties uz dušu, Hare Krishna.
When you put on your dhoti or your sari, Hare Krishna.
Kad velkat mugurā dhoti vai sari, Hare Krishna.
Or if you put on blue jeans, Hare Krishna.
Un ja jūs velkat zila džinsas, Hare Krishna.
In this way, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hari Hari.
Shada Veda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. In English, it is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. In Latvian, it is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In Russian it is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And now we have some Lithuanian devotees here. In Lithuanian, it is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in this way, you simply fill up your day with Krishna. You will have so much bliss in your heart that you'll be overflowing with bliss, so that you can bless everyone with Krishna consciousness wherever you go. This is the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yare deka tare kaha Krishna upadesha mara agaya guru hoyatara e desh. Whomever you meet, instruct him in the teachings of Krishna. In this way, on my order, you deliver the people of this country. So what country is he talking about? Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, Finland, every country. Wherever you live, wherever you are at the moment, even if you're visiting another country, you invite the people of that country. Whatever country you find yourself in at that moment, you try to deliver the people of that country. So fill your heart up by chanting this Hare Krishna mantra. And then share the bliss with everyone. A devotee can't tolerate to see anyone suffering. He wants to see that everyone is happy. He can't stand to see even one person miserable. Therefore, he dedicates his entire life for pushing forward this Krishna consciousness movement. This is what it means to be a devotee. It means to feel compassion for the suffering souls. That is the meaning of devotee. Devotee means he is an ocean of mercy. He wants to save everyone from their suffering condition. That is a devotee. So I can ask now if there's any questions.
If a disciple could not advance more than 1,000 yuzhgulu,
Parampara what?
It always degrade.
No.
Ja gadījumā māciklis nevar attīstīties tālāk par savu guru, tad sanāk, ka mācekļa pēctecība var degradēties.
The spiritual master is unlimitedly advanced. The bona fide guru is unlimitedly advanced.
Nē, jo īsti garīgais skolotājs ir neierobežoti attīstīts.
So, if you follow the bona fide spiritual master, you will become unlimitedly advanced. Krishna consciousness is not static. It's ecstatic. Therefore, the spiritual master, he is constantly advancing in Krishna consciousness. So the disciple, he's always trying to catch up with the spiritual master, but he can never do it. Spiritual master is always more advanced than the disciple. Even if the disciple is running, trying to advance very quickly by running very fast in Krishna consciousness. He will find that his spiritual master is outrunning him every time. Next question.
Tātad ir teiciens, ka labs skolotājs izaudzē skolnieku, kas ir labāks par viņu. Kā šis teiciens atbilst teiktiem?
So there is a saying that a good teacher raises a disciple who is better than himself.
A good disciple does what? Good teacher.
Good teacher educates his disciple in such a way that the disciple becomes better than him.
Hmm.
How can you comment?
Well, that may be true in the material world. But I give you an insider's secret in this connection. It's a fact that we see sometimes the disciple does surpass the spiritual master. We see that. Just like Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati, he spread Krishna consciousness within India only. So it appears that Srila Prabhupada surpassed Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakura. But did he really surpass Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakura? No. Actually, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakura is the one who actually spread Krishna consciousness all over the world through the medium of Srila Prabhupada.
Patiesībā Šrila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakura ir tas, kurš izplatīja Krišnas apziņu pa visu pasauli caur Šrilas Prabhupādas darbībām.
So even though it may appear that the disciple has surpassed the spiritual master.
Tā kā var virspusē izskatīties, ka māceklis pārspēja savu garīgo skolotāju.
It is actually the spiritual master acting through his disciple to increase his preaching even more.
Bet patiesībā tas ir tā, ka garīgais skolotājs darbojas caur savu skolnieku, lai vēl vairāk izplatītu savu sludināšanu.
And then Prabhupada told us, he said, I have done 10 times more than my Guru Maharaj.
Un tad Prabhupada mums teica, esmu izdarījis 10 reizes vairāk nekā mans Guru Maharaj.
And now you must do 10 times more than me.
Tagad jums ir jāizdara 10 reizes vairāk nekā es esmu izdarījis.
So actually when the disciples surpasses the spiritual master.
Tā kā iegadījumā skolnieks pārspēj savu garīgo skolotāju.
That is very good.
Tas ir ļoti labi.
That means he has captured the full mercy of the spiritual master.
Tas nozīmē, ka viņš ir ieguvis savu garīgo skolotāju pilnu žēlastību.
Next question.
Nākamais jautājums. Jautājums, vai garīgajā līmenī ir tāda jēdziena, kā augstāk un zemāk attīstīts?
So, I have heard that in the spiritual dimension there is no such thing as someone more advanced and less advanced. It's supposed that everyone is completely perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is no one more advanced.
Mm-hmm.
How can you say if a spiritual master is said to be more advanced than disciple mm-hmm. others?
Well, in the spiritual world, one will always keep himself as the subordinate servant of his spiritual master.
Garīgā pasaulē dvēsele vienmēr uzvedīsies kā savu garīgā skolotāja pakļautais.
Because he knows if it wasn't for my spiritual master, I wouldn't even be here.
Jo viņš zin, ka ja nemans garīgās skolotājs, tad es te nemaz nebūtu.
So even though he may have... Even though the disciple has pure love of God and the spiritual master has pure love of God. The disciple never considers himself to be equal to the spiritual master. Because it's by your grace, Guru Maharaj, that I'm here now. You understand? Does that answer your question fully? Next question.
Not myself, thanks. Vai pazemība nozīmē, ka mēs esam vienaldzīgi pret to, ko dara citu, vai tas ir kaut kas savādāks?
So, about humility. Does humility mean that we are indifferent to what others are doing, or does it mean something else?
No, humility means that you offer all respect to others without expecting any respect for yourself.
Nē, pazemība nozīmē, ka jūs visiem izrādat vislielāko cīņu un sev negaidat nekādu cīņas izrādīšanu.
So, in order to show everyone respect, you have to see something in them. How should you perceive those persons?
You should see the spark of Krishna within everyone.
You
should see the super soul is there within the heart of everyone. These are all walking temples.
How does this spark look? How does this spark of Krishna look?
Very beautiful. Next question.
Tātad šeit komentārā bija teikts, ka Šīla Prabhupāda komentārā saka, ka šī nodeļa jāizprot ar garīgā skolotāja palīdzību, bet ne par vienu citu nodeļu tas nav teikts.
So here in purport we can see Šīla Prabhupāda says, you must understand this chapter through the guru, but he doesn't say it about any other chapters. Why is that?
Any other what?
Any of the other chapters.
Only chapter 13 is understood by Guru's mercy and no other chapter. You have not understood the purport of Bhagavad Gita. Why? Because every chapter is spoken by the spiritual master, the disciple. The original spiritual master and disciple is Krishna and Arjuna. Each chapter is being understood from the spiritual master. Krishna. So if you don't have Krishna personally present, then you have to hear from the representative of Krishna. Each chapter.
So, Prabhu is saying that are there any rules and recommendations as how to do kirtan outdoors and indoors? Because when you do kirtan indoors with the same loudness, it often damages one's hearing, especially sound of karatals, metallic sound. And people sometimes do it too loud. And this damage is irreversible.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The especially indoors, you have to be very careful not to damage the devotee's hearing. See, due to our heavy metal background, we have a tendency to want to smash the kartals and the pound the drums. So kirtan is not meant... This is not heavy metal music. This is sweet, melodious kirtan. The most important thing is to hear the holy names. The drum and kartal, it is to help draw the attention to the name. If all you can hear is the drum and the kartal, then it's not being done properly. Just like if it has a picture frame, just like there's some beautiful painting, it has a frame on it. What is the object of interest? Is it the frame or is it the painting? The beautiful frame is there to help make the draw your attention to that painting, to make the painting even more beautiful. So the holy names, they are like the painting, and the music is like the frame. Now when you're out on the street, then the drums and the kartals have the extra function of attracting people's attention from a great distance.
Kad esat uz ielas, tad bumbis un karatālas labi darbojas, lai pievērstu cilvēku uzmanību no liela attāluma.
So there it can be more loud, you see, to draw the attention from, you know, blocks away.
Spēlēt skaļāk, lai pievērstu uzmanību no tā attāluma.
But indoors they should not, definitely not be so loud.
Bet iekštelpās nevajadzētu pārāk skaļi spēlēt.
Next question.
Nākamais jautājums. Tātad reizēm gadās situācijas, kad mēs nezinām, kā tālāk rīkoties, ko darīt, un tad mēs vēršamies pie Krišnas jautājumu, ko man tagad darīt. Un kā saprast, ka tā atbilde, kur mēs esam saņēmuši, ir atbilde priekš mums, atbilde no Krišnas?
Prosim atviet,
Lūdzam, lai Krišna dod atbildi.
And so, sometimes we come into a situation when we do not know what to do. And then we ask Krishna for an answer. What should I do? How do we know whether this answer which we are receiving is from Krishna actually, and is it for us?
If possible, ask the spiritual master.
Ja iespējams, jautājiet garīgiem skolotājiem.
Or ask an older devotee.
Vai kādam pieredzējušam bhaktam.
If not possible,
ja nav iespējams,
then use your intelligence and think, what is, you pray to Krishna to give you the intelligence.
Ja nav iespējams, tad lūdzaties Krishnam, lai dod jums saprātu.
And then think, what would be better for my Krishna consciousness, and do that.
Un tad cenšaties izdomāt, kas būtu labāk priekš manas Krishna sapziņas, un darīt to.
Sometimes you'll get it right.
Reizēm izdodas pareizi saprāt.
Sometimes you get it wrong.
Reizēm nepareizi.
You should always analyze it after you made the decision. And see, but you should analyze each time you do that after it's done and see if it's you did the right thing or not.
Un katreiz, kad jūs esat pieņēmis lēmumu un darbības ir izdarītas, ir svarīgi analizēt un vērot, vai šī ir bijusi laba un pareiza darbība, vai tas ir novedis pie labuma rezultātu.
In this way, you will learn from doing it right and doing it wrong how to always do it right.
Un šādā veidā reizēm kļūdoties un reizēm izdarot pareizi, jūs iemācīsieties, kā vienmēr rīkoties pareizi.
Have you ever cooked pancakes before? Yeah. So in the beginning it may be a mess, you know. The batter was too thin, the batter was too thick, it looked, you know. But by practice, you'll be able to make very expert, very nice pancakes. So in the same way, for Krishna conscious decisions, it's like making pancakes. You make your best effort. And when it comes out wrong, you can see it was a bad decision. So in this way, you can gradually become expert, just like you can gradually become an expert pancake maker. To where eventually you'll never make any mistakes. Next question.
Kādām jābūt īpašībām garīgiem skolotēm, kādām īpašībām nav jābūt garīgiem skolotēm?
what are most important qualities that spiritual master should have and what qualities he should not have?
If you study the Shikshastakam, I mean to say the Gravastakam, the eight prayers glorifying the spiritual master, do you know those prayers, Gravastakam prayers? And that's the best way to study what are the qualities of the bona fide spiritual master. And the very first thing to look is to see someone who is an ocean of mercy. Find that person who can extinguish the blazing fire of material existence which is burning within your heart. That's the first thing to look for in Guru. Is he extinguish this blazing fire of material existence within my heart? So in this way you can study all these eight prayers and examine the qualities. It's not that you should judge, well, he has long hair and he speaks very flowery language, well, he twirls a lotus flower in his hand. Or, wow, look, he has a big beard. Or he's from India, so he must be a guru. Don't look for the material things, you see. You have to see, who is this person who can extinguish the blazing fire of material existence within my heart? That by hearing from him, by serving him, I feel my lust is going away. My anger is going away. My greed, greediness, my madness, illusion, and envy. Who has the power to purify me? Krishna consciousness means to become a pure devotee. That's what it means. So where is that spiritual master who has the power to make me into a pure devotee? That's the main thing to look for in a spiritual master. Not, oh, he's very popular. I mean, you know, there's so many popular gurus in the world. They're completely bogus. Like there's the hugging guru, you know. People line up by the thousands to get a big hug from the guru. They think, oh wow, I got a hug, now I'm enlightened, you know. It's not such a cheap thing. If we could enlighten you just by hugging you, we would hug everybody, you know. Come get your hug from Guru Maharaj. But it's not some cheap thing like that. You got to purify your heart. You have to become completely disinterested in material sense gratification. So you have to find a spiritual master who is a pure devotee, who has no desire for wealth, for women or for followers, who doesn't even want to be liberated from birth and death, who simply wants to do service for all of eternity. A bona fide spiritual master doesn't care if he stays here or goes back to God over him, it's all the same thing. He can serve Krishna in the cycle of birth and death. He can serve him in Goloka Vrindavan. For him, serving Krishna in Riga is as good as serving Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. The bona fide spiritual master is living in Goloka Vrindavan even when he's in Riga. Wherever he goes, he transforms the atmosphere in Vrindavan. He doesn't need to go to Vrindavan to become purified.
Viņam nav vajadzīgs doties uz Vrindavan, lai attīrītos.
Srila Prabhupada explains the bona fide spiritual master goes to Vrindavan to purify it of all the sins left by the pilgrims.
Srila Prabhupada skaidro, ka patiesi garīgais skolotājs dodas uz Vrindavan, lai attīrītu to no visiem grēkiem, ko tur atstājuši svētceļnieki.
So these are some of the symptoms of a bona fide guru. Actually, if you want to know the symptoms of a bona fide guru, how many grains of sand are there on the beach? You can never count the qualities, you never come to the end of counting the qualities of Krishna's pure devotee. Just as Krishna has unlimited qualities, so the bona fide spiritual master has unlimited qualities. Any other questions?
Tātad, kāds cilvēks ir bijis Indijā pie Sai Babas un saka, ka tas ir Dieva zemes virs un viņš dara visādus brīnumus. Ko varat komentēt?
So, his father has traveled to India and visited Sai Baba. And he's saying, look, he is God on earth, he's doing some wonders, how can you comment?
The incarnations of God are listed in the scripture.
Dieva iemiesojumi ir uzskaitīti svētajos rakstos.
The last incarnation was Lord Chaitanya 500 years ago. The next one is Kalki Avatar in 427,000
years.
Anybody in between who claims they are God is bogus. Next question. Yeah.
Es neuzskatu, ka viņš sevi sauc par Dievu, viņa sekotāja to dara.
She doesn't think that he himself calls him God. His followers are doing that.
Yeah. If the spiritual, actually the leader of his international organization has officially promoted that he is God.
Viņa starptautiskās organizācijas līderis ir oficiāli paziņojis, ka viņš ir Dievs.
A bona fide spiritual master will never allow his disciples to do that. In fact, one time in ISKCON, four sannyasis made the mistake of saying that Prabhupada was God. He banned them. He banned them from all of our temples. That was the punishment. Actually, these gurus, these bogus gurus, they in a very roundabout way, they will present themselves as God. Just like one guru, see, we have in Sanskrit, there's two sayings, tat famasmi and aham brahmasmi. So, tat famasmi actually means, I am spirit. And Tatvamasmi means you are spirit. But the Mayavadis mistranslate these statements to I am God and you are God. So one of these bogus gurus, he said, I do not say aham brahmasmi, that I am God. I say Tatvamasmi, that you are God.
Es saku, Tatvamasmi, tu esi Dievs.
And the disciples think, oh, Gurdjieff is so humble. He's simply telling us that we are God. So it's a roundabout, tricky way to say that he is God. But sometimes they openly even become more open about it. I heard one guru, he said, I'm God, you're God, we're all God. Another guru put a peacock feather in his hair. And he held a flute. He said, I'm not Krishna. I'm whatever you want me to be.
Yes.
This is word games. They either directly or roundabout way they present their God. They allow their disciples to advertise that they are God. In fact, there's even a picture of Sai Baba which shows him with a peacock feather and a flute. So, yes.
I wanted to add the personality
they
recognize. He personally says that he is God. And I have a very good experience. There was a person who was wearing the three pendants of God.
Let him translate it for you.
Okay. That he was wearing three pendants of Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu. And this personality they are referring to, he said, "Why you are wearing three of these? Just take."
He had who on before? Vishnu?
Vishnu and Shiva.
So this is somebody that my wife knows personally. He was wearing the Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva around his neck. And he went for a darshan with Sai Baba. And Sai Baba took off Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva and he gave his own picture instead. She personally knows this person that had that darshan with Sai Baba. So he directly presented himself as better than Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. So directly and indirectly these bogies are presenting themselves as God, and that's a thing. So we should hear from the bona fide spiritual master who says we are all the servants of God. I am the servant of God, you are the servant of God. And I will teach you how to serve God perfectly. Any guru says, I will teach you how to become God. You should get away from that place as fast as you can. Next question.
Kādas īpašības svarīgi attīstīt pašā garīgās kalpošanas sākumā, lai būtu labs sagos progress?
What qualities should a neophyte devotee develop in order for his devotional service to be stable and good?
Sincerity.
Patiesums.
If you're sincere, that's all you need.
Tas ir viss, kas vajadzīgs.
If you're sincere, everything else will follow automatically. Next question.
Tā jautājums par Riši Šringi, viņš pilnīgi visu jautājas savam skolotājiem. Vai tāpat arī vajadzētu darīt šajā laikmetā ar Kali Jūgā?
So he mentions there is an example of Riši Šringi. He would ask to his guru everything, where to go, what to do.
Who?
Riši Šringi.
Riši? What was the person's name?
He had the horns, like a deer horn or
something.
He had the horns on his head.
He didn't have a mother.
He had no mother.
Oh, in Bhagavatam somewhere?
From Ramayana.
Ramayana, okay.
So he would ask to his guru everything, where to go, what to do. Is it possible in this age of Kali to do like that?
Possible, but should we
do it?
To ask your guru every little detail?
jautāt savam guru vismazāk uz smalkāku sīkums.
Actually, Prabhupāda told me that if there is some urgent matter, I'm always willing to hear from my disciples.
Ja ir kādas steidzamas lietas, es vienmēr labprāt saņemu jautājumus no saviem mācekļiem.
So the bona fide spiritual master is always willing to give whatever instructions the disciple needs to stay fixed in Krishna consciousness.
Tā kā patiesam garīgam skolotājam vienmēr ir patīkami saņemt jautājumus no saviem skolniekiem, lai palīdzētu viņiem nostiprināties.
Now, when I joined the movement, one time I had a question, and many of you know I was Vishnu Jana Maharaj made me a devotee.
Kad es pievienojos kustībai, Vishnu Jana Maharaj man palīdzēja pievienoties, man bija jautājums.
So one day I had a question for Vishnu Jana Maharaj that he could not answer.
Un vienu dienu es Vishnu Jana Maharajam uzdevu jautājumu, kur viņš nespēja atbildēt.
So he said, well, why don't you write Prabhupada?
Viņš saka, nu kāpēc lai neuzrakstītu Prabhupādu?
So I did that.
Es tā arī darīju.
And I was so enlivened by writing Prabhupada and getting an answer back.
Un es tik biju ļoti iepriecināts, ka es rakstīju Prabhupādu un saņēmu atbildi.
That I started writing him often.
Ka es sāku viņam rakstīt bieži.
But then they made a new policy in our movement.
Un tad viņi ieviesa jaunu sistēmu kustībā.
That from now on only the GBCs, sannyasis and temple presidents should write Prabhupada, nobody else.
Ka no šī brīža tikai GBCs, sannyasi un temple prezidenti var rakstīt Prabhupādu, neviens cits.
But I was pretty addicted to writing Prabhupada, I'll be honest.
Bet es biju ļoti pieķērējis rakstīt Prabhupādam.
So I took a chance and I did it anyway.
Un es tik un tā to izdarīju.
And Prabhupada actually told me it's better to consult the temple presidents, GBCs.
Un Prabhupada man teica, ka labāk ir vērsties pie tempļa prezidentiem, pie GBC.
But he said, but if there's any urgent matter, I'm always happy to hear from my beloved disciples. So I didn't write him as often. Whenever I had an urgent need, I would write Prabhupada because he told me I could. I had a special permission from Prabhupada to violate the policy. And I definitely took advantage of it. And for a few years I kept writing Prabhupada. And finally I reached a point where I didn't feel I needed it anymore. I had learned how to consult senior devotees and how to read the books, and everything was clear to me and I didn't need to write them anymore. But I always remembered how kind he was. He was willing to, whenever I felt a need, he was willing to take the time to answer my letters.
Un kā viņi, lai arī kad būtu kāda vajadzība, man viņš vienmēr veltīja laiku, lai atbildētu uz manām vēstulēm.
So that is the bona fide spiritual master.
Tas ir izgarīgais skolotājs.
He's always willing to, if a disciple has a question, he needs to have an answer. The spiritual master is always willing to answer this question.
Ja māceklim ir kādi jautājumi, garīgais skolotājs vienmēr labprāt atbild uz tiem.
Does that answer your question?
Vai jautājums atbildēts?
Okay, let's see if anyone else... All right.
Tātad, ja mums ir sajūta, ka cilvēks runā filosofiju, kurai varētu būt nepareizi iztulkota, un saskaņā ar to, ko tikko teica skolotājs, ir vajadzētu iet prom no šīs vietas, bet ja tā ir kāda svēta vieta, un varbūt mēs neesam pārliecināti, varbūt viņam ir, varbūt nav taisnība, kā labāk rīkoties?
So, you just explained that if you hear that someone is doing a bogus philosophy, you should get out as soon as you can.
If someone's doing what?
Bogus philosophy. Some false philosophy.
If you're hearing Buddhist false philosophy?
Yes. You should get out as soon as you can.
Yes and no.
And for example, and for example, if it happens to be in some holy place, or maybe you are not 100% sure whether that is false or not, what is best way to act?
Our mission is to enlighten everyone in the absolute truth.
Mūsu misija ir visiem dot absolūto patiesību.
So we can approach anyone and ask them, what is your philosophy?
Mēs varam doties pie jebkura un jautāt, kāda ir tā filosofija?
And we can hear in all detail what is their philosophy.
Un mēs varam visos sīkumos uzklausīt, kāda ir viņa filosofija.
And then we can defeat it.
Un tad mēs varam viņu sagraut.
So if it's not clear whether they're saying is bona fide or not,
ja nav skaidrs, vai tas, ko viņi saka, ir patiesis vai nē,
then you should inquire for them and get a clear understanding of what their philosophy is.
Tad ir jāuzdod viņiem jautājumu, lai viņi paskaidro, kāda ir viņa filosofija.
And then when you really see what their philosophy is,
un kad jūs redzat patiesībā, kāda ir viņa filosofija,
then you should defeat it.
Tad varat viņus sagraut, sakaut.
Give them Krishna consciousness.
Un pastāstīt par Krishna sapziņu.
How many days Lord Chaitanya heard Prakashananda Sarasvati?
Cik dienas kungs Chaitanya klausījās Prakashananda Sarasvati?
Of course, for a neophyte devotee, he may not be able to do this. But for someone who is well learned in Prabhupada's books, you can talk with a philosopher.
And
go deep into their philosophy. For the purpose of defeating them and bringing to Krishna consciousness. There is an injunction not to hear Mayavadi philosophy. If we wouldn't go and sit and hear a Mayavadi give classes, for example. But if you're doing one-on-one preaching with someone, and you can ask them what is their philosophy and let them reveal it in full to you.
Un jūs varat jautāt viņam, kāda ir tava filosofija, lai tad viņi atklājas.
And then you defeat it.
Un tad var viņš sakaut.
And establish Krishna consciousness.
Un iedibināt Krishna sapziņu.
Prabhupada told us we should be very expert in defeating this Mayavadi philosophy.
Prabhupada teica, ka mums jābūt ļoti prasmīgiem, lai sagrautu šo Mayavadi filosofiju.
He said we should be very expert in the art of argument.
Mums jābūt ļoti prasmīgiem šajā diskusijā filosofiskā.
He was one time flying on the airplane to Africa with Madhu Vishap. Prabhu. Can you imagine sitting, just you and Prabhupada sitting side by side on a 7-hour flight? Talk about nectar. Anyway, Prabhupada, he was all happy. I'm here with Prabhupada and we're flying together for many, many hours all the way from India to Africa. And then Prabhupada turned to him and he said, so, are you ready to fight? He said, Prabhupada, he didn't know what Prabhupada was talking about. Then. Prabhupada said, you play the Mayavadi and I will play the Vaishnava. So Madhavisha, he gave so many Mayavadi arguments. And Prabhupada smashed them one after another, completely smashed them
philosophically.
And Prabhupada said, okay, now I will play the Mayavadi and you be the Vaishnava. And Madhavisha is thinking, oh, I can easily win this debate because I just heard all the arguments for defeating Mayavadi philosophy. This will be easy. This will be easy to do. But you know what happened? Prabhupada defeated the Vaishnava argument. And Madhavisha couldn't defeat his Mayavadi arguments. And then Prabhupada said, this is how you should be expert in the art of debate. That you can defeat your own arguments. Of course, if you're really good, you see, you can give your arguments, you can defeat your own arguments, and then defeat your defeat.
Un, protams,
So we should be very expert in the art of argument. When I was in the high school, we were trained in the art of debate. I was on the high school debate squad. And in, we would have debate tournaments. And that year, the topic was the proliferation of nuclear weapons.
Un šajā gadā tēma bija kodolieroču brīvi splatīšanās.
So I had one debate partner, his name was Abe Zimmerman.
Man bija kāds diskusiju partneris.
And Abe and I, we would take turns debating with another team.
Un mēs pēc kārtas diskusējām ar otru komandu.
There would be four sessions.
Bija četras sesijas.
In two sessions, we would argue in favor of spreading nuclear weapons.
Divas sesijas mēs argumentējām, kāpēc vajadzētu izplatīt kodolieročus.
Another two sessions we would favor in we would argue in favor of restricting the spread of nuclear weapons.
Un pēc tam divas nodarbības mēs argumentējām, kāpēc kodolieročus vajadzētu ierobežot.
And then the judges would hear how powerful we were in argument and they would decide who is the winners.
Un tad tiesneši klausījās, cik laba bija diskusija, un viņi izlēma uzvarētāju.
So this is the art of debating.
Tā ir debates māksla.
It doesn't matter which position is right and which position is wrong.
Nav nozīmes, kuram ir taisnība un kuram nav taisnība.
You simply have to become more powerful in argument.
Vienkārši jākļūst spēcīgākam savos argumentos.
Of course, in our case, the Vaishnava Siddhanta is correct.
Protams, mūsu gadījumā Vaishnava Siddhanta ir pareiza.
But we should be so expert we can defeat even the most learned scholar, we can defeat them with this Vaishnava Siddhanta.
Bet mums jābūt tik prasmīgiem, ka mēs varam sakaut vismācītāko profesoru.
Ļoti praktiski, esam vietā vieta, kur sēž tagad makarā, četur sēž kā cilvēks, kurš šaubīgi filozofi runā. Es varu viņam mest izaicinājumu.
So just in a practical way, for example, in this very Vyasasana is sitting someone who is speaking dubious philosophy. Can I just...
What kind of philosophy?
It could be right, it could be wrong.
Oh, okay.
Can I just go and ask him...
Is he talking to you personally, or is he giving a lecture to a group?
Vai tas ir personis, vai tā lekcija uz visu klasi?
It's a lecture.
Oh, no, don't attend lectures. Don't attend lectures, that's not good. Unless you have an opportunity to defeat the speaker. I did that. I went to a lecture on black holes in outer space. Big, big scientist was giving a lecture to 3,000 students. That they were about the black holes in outer space. So I raised my hand and I said, is this a theory or is this a fact? He said, well, I think it's a fact. And then a few minutes later, I asked another question. I said, throughout the history of modern science, we have seen that one theory comes into popularity for some time, and then it's finally replaced by another theory.
Es teicu, ka modernā zinātnes vēsturē mēs varam redzēt, ka viena teorija kļūsi populāra uz kādu laiku, un tad to aizvieto cita teorija.
So how do we know that your theory will not be replaced by another theory? You see, I was already challenging him, my second question. He said it's a fact, it's not a theory, but my second question I called it a theory. He did not object to my question. So even just by asking the question that way, I already defeated him. But now I defeated him even further. I said, how do we know your theory will not be replaced by another theory? And he said, well, I hope it is. Because then we will be making progress. So they call this science. that one theory is replaced by another theory. Where is the progress? It's all theories. They've never found the truth. So if you can go to a lecture and there's a question and answer session, you can publicly defeat that speaker, then that's also very good.
Even in ISKCON temples?
I can tell you, sometimes I've heard bogus things said in ISKCON temples in the lecture. One devotee, he had a rhythmic philosophy. And in his lecture he said, we should not hear from anyone except for Prabhupada. So we could... I didn't do it then. I regret it to this very day. But you can raise your hand and say, well, Prabhu, then why we should listen to you? If somebody speaks some bogus point in the class, you should defeat their point. This is an open philosophy discussion. If somebody is giving... I was shy. I shouldn't have been shy. I should have defeated him. Because it was bogus philosophy. Sitting in the Vyasa Sangha giving bogus philosophy. Yeah.
How can one develop the quality of humility, which is so much lacking? Humility.
As I answered the other devotee, always give respect to everybody. Devotees, non-devotees, everyone. Even to a dog you should be respectful. And don't expect any respect for yourself. It's a simple way to be humble. Give all respect to others and don't expect any respect for yourself. And then you'll become perfect in humility.
How to develop sincerity?
Yes, sincerity means spiritual strength. And spiritual strength means sincerity. So if you develop spiritual strength, that is how you can become sincere. So the way to develop spiritual strength is you make a commitment to the bona fide spiritual master that I will chant Hare Krishna and I will follow these regulated principles. And then by keeping your word, you will develop spiritual strength. And that will be your sincerity. So are you chanting Hare Krishna? How many malas do you do every day? Two? Would you like to increase?
She's not sure she could.
If you increase, it will definitely give you spiritual strength. So I recommend that you should increase your chanting. Yes.
So it's thank you very much for you, because last week she attended your lecture and she was chanting two rounds and you gave instruction to chant four, so now she's doing five or six, depends on different days.
Very good, thank you very much.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Вот вот мудрый брат, он на вайрах
sliktas domas nāk, ja kāds nu, to sadrūk. Bet ko darīt, ja nāk nolāktas domas, ja kaut kā tāds domas, kā, kā balks, kāds kvalitātes, kalpot labāk kā. Nu, tā, uz tādiem jāfiksē, vai, vai viņi sajūlāk.
Tātad, ja skaitot džapu, nāk prātā dažādas domas, nu, ja tās ir nevēlamas domas, skaidrs, tās mēs atļūkšam, bet ja tās ir it kā šķietam vēlamas, ka, piemēram, kā uzlabot savu kalpošanu un tā tālāk, ko ar tām darīt?
So, when we chant our japa, obviously, different thoughts come into our mind. And some of them are obviously bad and we just reject them. But some seem to be good, like, how do I increase my service? Should we also avoid those thoughts or we do what?
Yes, you should just japa is a time for meditation. It's not a time for planning your service activities for the day.
Japa ir meditācijas laiks, tas nav laiks, kur plānot savu kalpošanu.
If you're having a personal meeting with God.
Personiski tikšanās ar Dievu.
If there's something that's really, really important that you think about, you should write it on a piece of paper and then go back to your japa.
Ja ir kaut kas, kas jums liekas ļoti, ļoti svarīgs, pierakstiet to uz papīru un atgriezieties pie japas.
It's something really urgent that all of a sudden remember, oh, I have to remember, I have to, you know, do this today, otherwise it'll be a big problem. If there's some urgent thing, you can stop and write it on a piece of paper and then go back to chanting.
Atcerieties kaut ko ļoti, ļoti svarīgi, ja es to neizdarīšu, šodien būs liels problēmas. Apstājieties, pierakstiet uz papīru un atgriezieties pie japas.
But the chanting is meditation. It's not a mechanical process of making a vibration on your lips like a buzzing bee.
Tas nav mehānisks process radīt vibrācijas ar savām lūpām, gluži kā bīte, kas zum.
It's transcendental meditation.
Pārpasaulīga meditācija.
That means you're going into a state of spiritual trance.
Tas nozīmē, ka jūs ieejat garīga transa stāvoklī.
Leaving aside all the practical things that have to be done, those later, after you finish your chanting.
Atliekot malā visas lietas, par kurām varat domāt, tas viss vēlāk, tagad skaidīšana.
Next question.
Nākamais jautājums. Tātad, ja tomēr minētā lieta ir palūgts, tomēr kirtan pusāk, un tas tomēr drīz vien atgriežas iepriekšējā skaļumā, kā rīkoties, palikt vietu prom? Tātad ģimenes locekļiem.
So, as he asked before, we found out that kirtan should be soft and mellow, mostly indoors, not too loud. And what to do if people, you tell them, for a while it's lower, but then it comes back again too loud. And it's still damaging for family members, for children. What to do? Go away from kirtan?
Become the kirtan leader.
Jūs tiek par kirtan vadītā.
Next question.
Nākamais jautājums. Tātad jautājums, esam audzināti, ka sievietes un vīrieši ir vienlīdzīgi, ka sievietēm jādara viss tas pats kā vīriešiem, bet studējot Krišnas apziņu, izskatās, ka sievietēm svarīgāk vairāk laika veltīt mājām un bērniem, bet tas varētu iekšķirt konfliktu. Kā rīkoties?
So, we have been raised up with the idea that man and woman are equal, that woman should do everything the same as men do, like have a career and job and everything. But studying Krishna consciousness, she has come to conclusion that woman should spend more time at home with children, and it creates inner conflict. What is the proper way to do it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, this whole idea that men and women are completely equal is not very practical.
Šī ideja par to, ka vīrieši un sievietes ir pilnīgi vienlīdzīgi, nav ļoti praktiska.
See, the husband, he can make the wife pregnant.
Ja, piemēram, vīrs var padarīt sievu stāvoklī.
If there was complete equality, then she could think, well, why I should get pregnant? I will make my husband pregnant. Let him carry the baby. Then there is true equality. So by nature's way, there is some division of labor. That doesn't mean one is better than the other. Just like in your body, there are different bodily parts, and each bodily part performs a certain function. Your eyes perform one function. Your ears perform a different function. Can I see with my ears? Can I hear with my eyes? No. So it's not that they have to be the same in order for them both to be valuable. They're both valuable. The eyes and the ears are both very valuable. But they have different functions. So and the man is very valuable and the woman is both, they're both very valuable. But they have different functions. The woman is not physically as strong as the man. And women, it's a sad reality, women are an object of sexual exploitation by men. A woman has to be very careful not to become raped. Is a man afraid of getting raped? So there is a difference. The women are weaker and the men are stronger. So in the Vedic culture, the qualities of both are just, they work as a team. So that both of them can be enhanced in their ability to serve Krishna. The man, he gives all protection to the woman. So that she can peacefully engage in Krishna consciousness. Without anxiety. You see? So it is a nice natural arrangement. Spiritually, there is complete equality. Because he is not a man, nor are you a woman. Be on the spiritual platform, you are completely equal. And actually, whoever is more Krishna conscious, they are higher.
Un patiesībā, kurš ir vairāk Krishnas apziņā, tas ir augstāk.
The woman is more Krishna conscious than the man, she is higher than the man.
Ja sieviete ir vairāk Krishnas apziņā, tad viņa ir augstāk par vīrieti.
If the man is more Krishna conscious than the woman, he is higher than the woman.
Ja vīrietis ir tālāk Krishnas apziņā, tad viņš ir augstāk par sievieti.
Whoever is more advanced, they are the leader.
Un kurš ir tālāk attīsties, tas ir līderis.
In terms of spiritual life.
Attiecībā uz garīgo dzīvi.
But when it comes to the material side, the woman has to be protected by the husband who is more strong physically. Of course, sometimes the women also protect the husbands. When George Harrison was being attacked by one demon, broke into his house and he was stabbing George.
Reizēm arī sievietes aizsargā vīrieši, ka, piemēram, Džordžam Harrisonam mājā ielauzās kāds personam, viņam uzbruka nazi.
his wife grabbed the lamp and she was smashing that robber, that murderer, and saved George's life. Sometimes the men are protected by the women also, even in terms of physical things. Any other questions? Does that answer your question? Okay. Any other questions? Yes.
Tātad vai cilvēks, kurš ir labs cilvēks pēc īpašībām, bet tomēr atgaļu, vai viņš varbūt par garīgu skolotu?
So, say there is some person who is like nice qualities, but he is a meat eater. Can such a person be a guru?
And when, if he gives up meat eating,
viņš vai pārstāt gaļēst?
He can't be a guru while he's a meat eater.
Viņš nevar būt guru, kamēr viņš atgaļu.
In fact, we were just studying the last hour a verse in the Bhagavad. There's a verse in the Vedas that says, even if one is a dog eater, he can become guru. One has to become completely pure. That's
all.
Narada Muni was a materialistic person before he became Narada Muni. You know who he was in, you know what he was in his previous life? He was a pop singer in the heavenly planets. Just like the Beatles, you know, were real popular pop singers. He was like a John Lennon in the heavenly planets. And then he took birth as the son of a Shudra woman in his next life. And he happened to, the sages were taking prasadam in the forest nearby his home during the Chaturmasya. And just by getting the remnants of their food, he became a great devotee. So even if one is a complete materialistic person, he gets the mercy of a pure devotee, he can become a pure devotee. How did Prabhupada save us, you see? The mercy of a pure devotee. Next question.
Liels paldies par atbildēm uz daudziem jautājumiem. Jautājums, kā, par ko mums vajadzētu domāt, kādam jābūt mūsu noskaņojumam kalpošanas laikā?
Thank you very much for answering so many questions. And the question is, what should be our mentality while performing devotional services?
Love.
Mīlestība.
Should do everything in a loving mood.
Viss jādara ar mīlestības noskaņojumu.
You want to show Krishna that you love him by doing it in a way that, like, in a loving way, you see.
Parādiet Krishnam, ka jūs viņu mīlat, darot visu mīlestību.
Just like a mundane example.
Tāds pasaulīgs piemērs.
Let's say a boy falls in love with a girl.
Piemēram, kāds puisis iemīlas meitenē.
He does so many things. He buys her flowers, candy.
Viņš dara tik daudz lietas par viņai.
Takes her to the movies. Takes her to the, you know, gives her clothing and jewelry, so many things. To woo her affection. So how does he do it? He said, here's some jewelry. No. He said, oh my dear, I brought you this jewelry, I hope you like it. You see. In a very loving way, he gives her the flowers, he gives her the jewelry. And in this way, in loving affection, he gives her this service. Because he wants to woo her love. So we want to woo Krishna's love. So we should do everything very nicely. So Krishna will, oh, this devotee really loves me. We want to attract Krishna's love. And the way we sing the kirtan, the way we chant the japa, the way we cook the offering, the way we tell people about Krishna. In this way, bhaktya, with devotion. In this way, do you say it?
Tad kā cienīt cilvēku, par kuru karstas diskusijas notiek?
So, you told that you one should treat everyone with respect, even dog. But if I am having a hot discussion, like, and how can I respect him during that discussion?
Keep a cool head.
Paturiet vēsu prātu.
Don't get hot-headed.
Ne,
even if you're angry, channel your anger in a cool-headed way.
But ja esat nikns, tad tomēr vadiet savas dusmas saprātīgā veidā.
Don't lose control.
Nezaudiet kontrolu.
See, devotee is a Goswami. He's in control of his anger.
Bhakta, viņš ir Goswami, viņš kontrolē savas dusmas.
He can use anger as a tool.
Viņš var izmantot dusmas kā rīku.
Prabhupada did that. He was very expert in doing that. One time he was in Mexico City, and there was a late night preaching program the night before, and no one got up for Mangal Arati. So in the Bhagavatam class, Prabhupada was very, very angry that no one came from Mangal Arati. Oh, by the way, I could have come to Mangal Arati every day. There are very few devotees who live here in the temple who come from Mangal Arati. We need to increase the attendance at Mangal Arati here. So anyway, Prabhupada was very, very angry the devotees weren't coming to Mangal Arati. And he chastised them this way, and he chastised them that way, and the devotees were like shaking. It was so heavy. Prabhupada's anger was like Indra with the thunderbolts. Devotees were just terrified by his anger. And then, after the class, Prabhupada walked out the door. And the temple president, Chitsukananda Prabhu, he walked with Prabhupada. He always felt like he was Prabhupada's little puppy dog. So he would just try to go along with Prabhupada wherever Prabhupada went, you see. So Mexico City is a tropical climate. And there were some beautiful tropical flowers growing right outside the temple room door. So Chitsukananda, he picked one of those flowers and he offered it to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada took that flower and he was relishing that flower in a very cool, serene way. And Chitsukananda was amazed. He said, Prabhupada, you were so angry, just like a roaring lion. And now you're so peaceful, like a little gentle lamb. How is that, Srila Prabhupada? Prabhupada said, I was not angry. I just had to make a show of anger to train my disciples. I'm never angry at my beloved disciples. So in this way, a devotee, he can use anger.
Šāda veida bhakti var izmantot dusmas.
For the purpose of training others.
Lai apmācītu citus.
Because sometimes, if there's no anger, we don't pay attention.
Jo reizēm, ja nav dusmas, tad mēs nepievēršam uzmanību.
We just think, oh, okay, all right. But when it's angry, then we snap to pay attention. So sometimes we have to use anger to get people to pay attention.
But
we should always be cool on the inside.
Does it mean one should be very cautious to use anger before we can complete Goswami?
Before
one becomes Goswami.
Before one becomes Swami?
Yes.
No, you can use anger whenever it's appropriate.
Varat izmantot dusmas jebkurā piemērotā situācijā.
I was one time distributing prasadam on the street in Gainesville, Florida.
Reizes izplasīju prasādu Floridas ielās.
And one hippie boy was a real, what we call a smart aleck. I don't know what you call it in Latvian. Wise guy, smart aleck. He saw me handing out, I had a whole basket full of Simplies I was handing out to everyone. He was thinking, ha ha ha, I'm going to have fun with this Hare Krishna guy. So he took that basket and he hit it and knocked all the sweets out in the street. Talk about an offensive thing you did. So was I tolerant? Was I cool? I showed great anger. I'm not going to fully duplicate it here because it would hurt my ears. But I was like this close to him. I said, you better get up there. You better get out there and pick up all of those sweet balls right now. And he flipped. He ran out there in the street and started picking up all the sweets. I immediately used anger. As if I was so angry I would kill him on the spot. It was controlled. I didn't hit him. I simply wanted to take control of him and force him by my anger to do what he needed to do to overcome that offense he had made. I was not a guru, I was not a swami, I was just a young brahmachari. I just in the movement for 2 years. I was first initiated. But I gave such anger, immediately he came out of Maya and went out there and picked up those sweets. So when anger needs to be used, you must use it for Krishna. With no hesitation. If your heart is pure, Krishna will guide you. But I never lost my cool. And he picked up all the sweets. So our time has run out. We're coming back in October. So we'll be thinking of all of you wonderful devotees here in Riga. While we are gone. But actually you will not be gone. Because by your love you have captured us. We will be captured within your hearts. So we look forward then to our return in October. We are going to have a very ecstatic kirtan tomorrow morning as we head out for Tallinn. If you would like to come for that kirtan, you're invited. It will be right after Tulsi worship. Mangalarti starts at 5 o'clock. And then, see, yeah, 5 o'clock, and then Tulsi worship is around 5:30 or so. So right after Tulsi worship, around 5:40 or so, then we'll be heading out. So everybody's invited for Mangal Arati tomorrow at 5 a.m. If you've never been to Mangal Arati, you owe yourself to come and taste the nectar. It is the ultimate experience in Krishna consciousness. If you've never been for Mangal Arati, be here tomorrow at 5 o'clock. And your Krishna consciousness will enter a whole new dimension. So how many will come tomorrow morning? How many will be here tomorrow morning? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Some of them, you'll be here, you'll come anyway. So, Adi Dave, you'll be here for Mangal Arati. Oh, very good. Okay, so anyway, as many as possible come tomorrow and we'll have a wonderful kirtan tomorrow morning. So we thank you very much for your participation in this Hare Krishna movement. Please continue participating and your life will be unlimitedly sublime. Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.